Hello and welcome to our 14th episode of the Agri-Food Commscast. It's the end of October as we're recording this episode, and we've chosen a couple of food and farming supply chain topics that really chime with the season as the temperatures drop and the nights draw in. We come on to talk to Tessa Trix from Hubbub, the environmental charity behind the annual pumpkin rescue campaign that's spearheading the charge to hashtag Eat Your Pumpkin. But first, I'm with NFU Mutual's Rural Affairs Specialist, Rebecca Davidson. Welcome, Rebecca.
Thank you, Catherine.
So you've taken on the challenge of getting across why crime on farms should mean something to everyone who consumes food. And I think it's fair to say you've become adept at selling the story surrounding your annual rural crime report to a raft of media channels. Tell me more.
Yeah, so we've been actively involved in helping our members fight rural crime for about 20 years. And the reason for that is it's one of the biggest worries for people in the countryside. So what we aim to do with the annual PR campaign is raise awareness of the issue with the media and the wider public, as well as with government and police forces as well, to keep it high up on the agenda. But as you say, there's always a challenge selling this story in to the wider consumer media. And I think there can be a bit of an outdated view when it comes to rural crime. Maybe they'll think that it's like an episode of Heartbeat. So the challenge for me every year is to really come up with a compelling case, because obviously rural crime is a huge issue that affects us all. It's costing about 54 million, but obviously it's a human impact as well. And the very organised nature of it, because a lot of the farm machinery that's stolen is being stolen by organised criminal gangs and it's being exported abroad. So what we have to do is give some really robust figures to prove what we're saying. We have to find compelling case studies, real people who can show and bring to life what the problem is. And also give that specialist insight as well, because we work with a lot of different experts within our own business or through the specialist police unit that we sponsor at the National Vehicle Crime Intelligence Service.
Brilliant. So does it tend to be the same story every year, though? You know, how do you go about trying to maybe put a bit of a different spin on it year on year?
We never work to just a standard template, because it would be really hollow if we did. We we obviously learn from running this campaign every year, but what we start with is looking at the data. And the fact that we are the main insurer of the countryside, so we insure about 3/4 of the UK's farmers and many thousands of rural homes and businesses, when you look at the claims data, it gives you a really rich insight into what's going on the ground and the different trends that are affecting different areas. Also, because we've got an agent network of 300 offices in very rural locations across the UK, we carry out a survey with them to find out about what's happening on the ground. And also we speak to a tremendous number of case studies. That is, farmers who are being affected about what's on their minds as well. And so that helps us to bring together a picture. So in previous years, yes, we'll have different themes each year. So sometimes you'll get some of the attention sort of grabbing themes like medieval measures to fight modern day problems. So we'd look at earthworks and medieval fortifications, which obviously the tabloids will love. But this year, it was very much about how has crime hit the countryside under coronavirus, because although our report will be based on the 2019 figures, 2019 doesn't just feel like a year away, it feels like a lifetime away, because we're working in completely different times. So our task there was to look into quite recent data and see what the trends were. And although crime overall had dropped under lockdown, we found a worrying trend that possibly the car thieves who were concentrating on urban areas were targeting farms for smaller, more portable pieces of kit like quad bikes, GPS systems, and also a rise in rustling as well, which has completely changed over the last few years. So that even went up by about 15% in April. So we then brought that information together to put together this year's report.
I mean, obviously you're appealing to very diverse audiences, you know, right across broadcast media through to printed media, farming trade, etc. How do you package it up for the different media types?
We publish a report which is available online, which gives an overview of the different trends and has some viewpoint pieces. So we try and give people as much information as possible within the report, because it's used by media, academics, police forces, agents, farmers, people from the main farming unions. And then we produce different media briefings and releases and for different audiences as well. So we'll have a package that's tailored for the farming press, and they'll want much more detailed information about the different trends that are taking place. We have packages for the national media. We know that Financial Times, for instance, when we give them information, it'll be more about the economic impact and the wider sort of global impact. They're very interested in the international elements as well of where stolen kit is ending up. To some of the tabloids, we're really interested in Land Rover Defender theft, because obviously that's such an iconic part of the British countryside. And then also dealing with the broadcast media, which is where it's so essential to have those case studies, and to make sure that case studies are confident to share their story, because that makes a tremendous difference to the viewers at home when they can really see how this issue is really affecting farmers.
Absolutely. Have you got any examples of sort of bringing the stories really to life and the work that you need to do in advance to actually make sure that you've really got a perhaps a visual story to tell or whatever to really sort of capture imaginations?
So I could give you an example of some work that we did with the BBC and their rural affairs unit. And that was for a piece that was broadcast on BBC Breakfast. But also a lot of that work ended up being used for News 24, radios 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and 6 as well. And in putting together that package, we really needed to illustrate the story. Obviously, they had a lot of questions about the figures. Fortunately, because we're in insurance, we're financial services, so we have very robust checking processes. So our figures are very strong, they're very solid, and we're able to, you know, to really prove what the trends are. It's not on a hunch, it's backed up by data. And also finding the case studies. So we said that kit was being stolen to go overseas. So they said, well, we'd really like to see that. So we then got in touch with the National Vehicle Crime Intelligence Service, a special unit that we fund. And we knew that some stolen telehandler and a quad bike was coming over on a lorry back from Poland. So I had to get in touch with a salvage yard, get them to hold that for a few days so that the BBC could get a crew to come and film it, to get a police officer to give their view as well about agricultural vehicle theft on site. I also needed to find a case study of somebody who'd been affected by livestock rustling over coronavirus. So we found a farmer in the southwest who was really able to give that personal view behind the figure. Yes, it was about £10,000 worth of stock that had been stolen, but to really demonstrate what the impact will be on a farmer and how it feels, because obviously so many farms aren't just businesses, they're people's homes as well. I then gave an interview as well on location to give an overview about the issue, but also to really hammer home to a wider audience, to a consumer audience, about how rural crime doesn't just take place in a very isolated part of the countryside and stay in the countryside. The fact that rustling, for instance, can pose a threat to human health, because meat that might be slaughtered in unhygienic conditions is going into a black market, and that is something that could affect us all. And the importance of looking at good farm assurance schemes as well. So there's a much wider message to get out.
Absolutely, and it's really right across the food and farming supply chain, as and actually the rural communities living in those areas as well. So yeah, it's a big impact, and I can see really why the consumer media have really latched on to that, particularly where there's all those fantastic stories to latch onto. So I don't know if you perhaps just want to close with sort of summarising the sort of headline results from the campaign.
Yes, that's fine. So this year, we're still counting, but we've probably generated over 1,500 pieces of coverage for the campaign. And there's a tremendous amount of broadcast coverage within that. So making sure we've got lots of spokespeople across the UK who are able to give radio interviews and TV interviews, the mainstream national press, and also most importantly, the agricultural media as well, because we were set up by farmers for farmers, and we absolutely have to keep the farming press front of mind as well with all of this. And they are absolutely fantastic in terms of raising this issue, because at the end of the day, what we want to do is keep this issue at the top of the agenda and also give as much advice as possible as we can to people living in rural communities to help protect themselves.
That's brilliant. And I think in this world of cutting through all the noise that's out there, that you know, done a brilliant job to hit so many headlines with this vital issue. So congratulations with your campaign. We now come on to another campaign that's targeting the public and latching on to the Halloween festivities to make a pretty important point on the topic of food waste. Tessa Tricks is behind the hashtag Eat Your Pumpkin campaign. Welcome, Tessa. Tell me, what's it all about?
Fantastic. Hi, Catherine. This Halloween, 24 million pumpkins are set to be carved, but only half of them will be eaten. So we're running the pumpkin rescue campaign this year. It's the seventh year of the campaign, and it has one simple message: eat your pumpkin carvings. And it has a range of means to inspire people to eat their Halloween pumpkins, and really aims to remind people that pumpkins are delicious, nutritious, and a really valuable food. They're not just for decoration. And every pumpkin eaten is a step towards tackling the 6.6 million tonnes of food and drink that are thrown away from UK homes each year.
Wow, that's brilliant. So I think there's an underlying message to this whole thing, isn't there?
Yeah, there is, absolutely. And I think that the key message here is eat your pumpkin and eat your food year round. Exactly. Food waste is a huge problem. About a third of all food that's grown is not eaten. And it's not just an environmental problem on the household level. That adds up to about £730 per year. So it's a really compelling argument for people to be making the most of their food, especially at this time. I think with the pumpkin rescue, as I say, it's the seventh year running it now, and it uses pumpkins as a hook to talk about food waste year round, but also as a way to bring people together around food as part of quite a seasonal celebration. This is an anomaly this year because we can't have any on the ground events, but usually we run pumpkin festivals. We've run 250 local events over the last 6 years, and these usually kind of culminate around going to a farm, getting lots of leftover pumpkins after Halloween, making a delicious soup, and then really helping people to eat the message, giving them a freebie of soup and serving up the food waste message alongside that.
Great. So, yeah, quite a serious message under all that. And I think this year you've conducted a survey. So how are you using that survey and, you know, some of your other themed activities to convince, you know, you've got a massive public, a massive audience to try and reach out to sort of try and change behaviours?
So we've conducted a survey this year, as we have for the last few years. And I'll start with some good news, Catherine. The number of people that are eating their pumpkins has significantly increased. Back in 2014, two-thirds of people weren't eating them. Now it's just a half. And back in 2014, we found a kind of shocking statistic that was there's 18 million tonnes of pumpkin wasted each year. So we thought, how can we rectify this? And as part of the polling, we tried to really understand what would help people to eat their pumpkins. And the kind of resounding answer was more recipes. A lot of people thought pumpkins were tasteless or they didn't know how to cook with them. So a kind of key thing that we've been promoting throughout this campaign is we've built up really a plethora of recipes to help people cook with pumpkins. We've got them from celebrity chefs. We've got kind of very simple ones. We've got recipes from around the world. And kind of central to this is the sense that you can cook with a carving pumpkin. So three-fifths of people at the moment don't eat a pumpkin if it comes to the supermarket and it's labelled carving. Potentially they think that it's not edible, or they just think it's not very good to eat, which is not strictly true. It works really, really well in soups and curries and stews. So we're very much urging people to eat their carving pumpkin, and also enjoy the huge variety of delicious pumpkin squashes and gourds that are out there at this time of the year.
Definitely, it really sort of fits in with the whole seasonal eating and having an awareness of what's growing at any particular time of year. So I think that's great. So in terms of food waste, because obviously that's a huge part of this, when we were talking last time, you were telling me a bit about calling for more reporting on what's wasted and how much.
Yeah, so as far as we know, more than 10 million tonnes of food is wasted every year in the UK, and less than a third of the major food companies committed to reducing food waste are actually publishing their data. So we think that actually to encourage a reduction in waste, we need people to measure it. If you can't measure it, you can't change it. So at Hubbub, we have just released what we're calling a green print, which is a series of policy asks to help us build back better in a greener way. And central to this is a call for mandatory food waste reporting for large food businesses that would be done by an independent evaluator. And then we can hopefully have transparent data which companies can use to illustrate what they're doing to reduce food waste all across their supply chain, because we have a lot of data around what happens at the home and what happens at the store level. But in terms of what happens pre-farm gate, there's very little known, and clearly actions all across the supply chain have a great impact downstream. So we think it's a really important piece if we are going to try and reach the Sustainable Development Goals commitments to our food waste.
Yeah. So what sort of response have you had from food supply companies in, you know, asking for that data to be published?
That's a good question. There are some businesses that are really keen and ready to go for it, and others, clearly it's a huge cost to them. And I think while they can clearly see the environmental benefit, and I think most businesses are on board with the sustainability agenda, clearly it's not a cheap, quick or easy thing to implement. So I think we just have to really keep celebrating and pushing those who are committed to this, and hope that others will follow suit.
Yeah, hopefully it's sort of start of a bit of a trend, but a difficult issue.
Yeah, a trend with carrots, sticks and pumpkins, hopefully.
Yes, absolutely. Is there anything else, you know, from the retail and trade point of view to sort of support the food waste cause? Is there anything else they can do?
I think having clear point of sale messaging, actually, that carving pumpkins are edible and are delicious, giving those out maybe with recipe suggestions would be one clear ask, potentially changing that labelling. One of the things that we've done in the past with retailers is instigating pumpkin drop-off points. So those that don't have food waste collection or compost heaps can return their pumpkin just to make sure that it doesn't go in the bin. And then I think there's more broadly all kinds of things that retailers can do to try and make sure that households aren't overbuying. Obviously, it's difficult to go to retailers right now with an anti-consumption message, but some of the tactics that have been employed, such as instead of having buy one, get one free, having mix and match, that's a great solution. Making maybe downsizing packages so that people aren't tempted to buy a sack of carrots that they can't eat. And we're all seduced by a bargain, but it's only a bargain if you do eat it. Pleased to say that there's been a great kind of move towards wonky veg over the last couple of years. So I think that householders are really coming to understand the food waste message to a greater degree. But equally, I think a lot of people are still not quite understanding the scale of the food waste issue, because I think a lot of people think that it's about the harmful gases that are emitted once food waste is in landfill, whereas actually you think of all the resource and the energy that has gone to make those foods and transport that food, and that's where the waste happens.
Yeah. No, thank you, Tessa. I think it's real food for thought, shall we say. But I think it's quite inspiring how a campaign, you know, from yourselves as an environmental charity is, you know, really looking at quite simple ways that individuals, consumers, families can make an impact, but also working up through the supply chain and influencing in that way. It's definitely interesting times, and I think it's definitely a direction of travel that the industry needs to quickly start adopting. Thanks ever so much for your time, Tessa. Great to speak to you.
No, thank you ever so much, Catherine. Pleasure to be here.
That concludes today's episode. Thank you to my guests Rebecca Davidson and Tessa Trix. Join me again on the Agri-Food Comms Cast. I'm Catherine Lynch.